I don't do the hat. Any examination of my life, career, loves, and losses should begin with that thought. And for those listeners who are of a more philosophic nature, the hat is metaphorical as well as physical. It's not that I don't appreciate the symbolic nature of the toque, or that it's the accepted look for anyone who considers himself a professional chef. Perhaps it's my own ignorance and/or arrogance that I will look upon my assigned professional headgear with such disdain. Maybe if I'd come into this profession from an apprentice program, or one of those more famed culinary institutions, CIA or Johnson & Wales, etc., I would have the proper respect and cherish the opportunity to be the one permitted, nay deemed worthy, to wear it in the kitchen. Being a reasonable man, I can also differentiate between having to wear the hat and needing to wear the hat. I know it lends a certain air of authority, a certain confidence. Patrons are greatly assured by its presence that their food has been created with care, taste, and experience guiding the process. Not to mention prepared with a knowledge of food safety, a very important consideration. Truly, I understand all that. I, however, don't do the hat. I can think of several reasons to simply not wear the hat. First and foremost, I just don't like the damn thing. And this comes from a guy who is known to be hat friendly. I like wearing hats, I really do. But there are hats and there is the hat. And I can't stand the latter. They aren't comfortable. And it's really not a good look for me. Not that I'm a terribly vain man who has any taste whatsoever in fashion. Honestly, it's not that by putting a giant coffee filter on my head, I appear to be an 11-foot-tall albino smokestack. I'm a fairly tall at 6'4", and run anywhere between 3 and 335, depending on my workout habits. I've often made the observation that I'm built like a porta-john. It has very little to do with the fact that given my relative largeness, I tend to ram it into everything from exhaust hoods, walk-in doorways, small commuter aircraft, and the occasional migratory bird flock. It's all about pretension, or my decided lack of it. One can be a hat guy without ever wearing one. This is a business that can take once normal human beings and turn them into egomaniacal self-promoters. To me, cooking is a craft, no different from metalsmith, weaver, quilter, etc. This is not to say that things we do aren't artistic, quite the contrary. Look at the food of Alfred Portale or Todd Gray and tell me it isn't beautiful. But that beauty is meant to be destroyed. It's okay. They want you to destroy it. Food is meant to be tasted and smelled, eaten and lingered over. They're craftsmen, wildly talented, insightful, better craftsmen than I hope to be, but craftsmen nonetheless. By the way, I know that Chef Portale is an artist in his own right, so you don't need to send any letters to me. By all accounts, he is also not a hat guy. I've met Todd Gray. I've gotten drunk with Todd Gray. You couldn't possibly meet a nicer guy and a more talented chef. He is also not a hat guy. Over the years, I have served under several chefs who looked good in the hat. I have known several for whom wearing the hat was as natural as wearing their own skin. I'm fairly convinced many of those men, while being true and fine culinary artists, are the illegitimate children of Courtney Love and Charles Manson. Perhaps it's my own bad luck, but most of these guys' business cards should have "what a prick" typed neatly under their names instead of "executive chef" embossed in raised letters. Hat guys exude hatitude. They're "speak to me at your own peril." They're "in the realm of human history, no one has ever cared less about your thoughts on this matter than I do right now." They're achievement. They're goal-oriented. They're culinary social climbers. They seek more. More money, more prestige, more perks. Some would say that it is merely ambition, but these folks are loyal to no one but themselves. They're generally unhappy, unpleasant people who will reluctantly share a beer with you because it's expected at one of those few social gatherings you attend together, even though you can tell that your company leaves a bad taste in their mouth because they could be advancing themselves by networking instead of sharing a beer with the unwashed heathen. That would be you, by the way. And many of them can't cook. Please let me note Saying that a chef can cook, while it is assumed by the public he can, is the highest of all compliments from one of his peers. It's not a thing bestowed lightly. Are they all this way? Probably not. Am I generalizing? Stereotyping? Most assuredly. However, the non-hatted are like that. I entered this business because I love food, the aromas, the taste, the process, not because I could be in charge. Being in charge is nice, don't get me wrong. It's decidedly better than not being in charge. As Anthony Bourdain points out, you're the captain of your own pirate crew or something along those lines. I enjoy privileges that were hard-earned, get paid nicely for doing what I love, and am in a position where my unfiltered comments and flippancy is seen as offbeat and funny instead of disrespectful and crass as it was when I was an underling. I try to maintain my position by working hard, reading and staying current on trends, and knowing more than the people around me, at least about food. By demanding excellence, by being intolerant of discourtesy and disrespect, and by showing that I'm willing to get as dirty as my dishwashers. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but I can't do it any other way. People may fear the hat, but the hat is fleeting unless you show them something underneath it. Remember, there is always someone out there who is just as good, if not better than you. Wear the hat and wear it proudly. Just don't make it all that you are. A good buddy of mine would say, come the end of the day, it's all food and booze, boys and girls. No one's going to die. It's become sort of a fundamental operating philosophy for me. In Europe, the hat reigns supreme. The same tradition is passed along from generation to generation of chefs. Many of those chefs are people who are completely brilliant, but their people skills, with their staff at least, are like that of a Claymore anti-personnel mine. One of my interns, when I worked in Hilton Head, regaled me with a tale of a culinary student friend of his. This poor lad had apparently made his chef so unspeakably pissed off that the chef actually beat him with a chicken. Now, I'm no historian, but if you made a top 10 list of humiliating moments of the 20th century, beaten with a chicken has to be on it. Anytime physical violence and foul are combined, bad things can happen. It makes you wonder if truly heinous offenses are punished with a turkey. Minor faux pas? A quail, perhaps. I'm completely ignoring the pecking order comments that are running through my head right now. Needless to say, only a true hat guy would be able to pull off the astoundingly cruel poultry punishment. I can accept the responsibilities of being in charge. I like the teaching, the creativity, and all things culinary. But please, don't ask me to do the hat. I just don't like the damn thing.
Thank you for listening to A Modern Profession podcast. For more podcasts you might enjoy and information on live shows and how you can get involved, visit amodernprofession.com. Or check us out on Twitter @AModernPro or on Instagram @AModernProfession. Thank you.